Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome, everyone, to Banco do Estado do Rio Grande do Sul Banrisul earnings call for the second quarter of 2021. Today with us, we have Cláudio Coutinho Mendes, CEO, Marcos Staffen, CFO and IRO, Osvaldo Lobo, Credit Officer, Nathan Sazi Meneguzzi, Executive Responsible for Investor Relations, Werner Koehler, Executive Superintendent of the Accounting Unit. We would like to inform that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Following the presentation, there will be a question and answer session only for analysts and investors when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. A replay of this call will be available for one week. Before proceeding, please be advised that forward-looking statements during this call related to the projections of Banrisul businesses, as well as financial and operational forecasts and goals, are based on the beliefs and assumptions of management and on information currently available to the company. Future considerations do not ensure performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Banrisul and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Cláudio Coutinho Mendes, CEO of Banco do Estado do Rio Grande do Sul, to start the presentation. Please, Mr. Coutinho, you may now begin the conference.
Thank you. I thank you all for being here. Let's get started then with our presentation of our earnings results for the second quarter. Hopefully, you all have the presentations on you. We have here slide number two, so that we can talk a bit about the economic scenario. Even before that, I would like to go through the semester to make sure we're all on the same page. When we started the semester, the first semester of 2021, we had in the horizon that with the beginning of the vaccination and the social control of people with less socializing, we would have a pandemic that would start to be reduced. Unfortunately, that's not the case. From February and March, we see a peak of coronavirus, even over what we had in 2020, and that brought to the state of Rio Grande do Sul the closing down of the economy in a way that was quite drastic. Nearly all municipalities of the state were under the black flag rule, and in our case, we were working on only 25% of our commercial professionals in the branches. I am referring here to March, April, and this definitely brought a harm to our sales capacity. We were frustrated slightly when it comes to the commercial force we had for the time was hindered because of the restrictions. Also, we had a great concern with the health of our employees and our customers, and we followed strictly all the recommendations, not only of state and municipalities when the municipality was more strict than the states, but also with a hospital customer of ours who gave us information on healthcare practices. It did hinder our commercial goals. I wanted to give this background to tell you the story of how the semester went in terms of our approach, today we already are back to normal when it comes to have all our commercial force back to the branches, except for those employees who are in a risk group who are still home-based. But otherwise, all the others that are not in risk groups are back working in person at the branches, which is very important for us to reach our commercial goals, but to definitely following strictly all the protocols of Moinho do Vento that told us in terms of distancing, mask use, sanitation, gel to be used. So we are following strictly all the recommendations, but we have our commercial force back to the branches. So now the economic scenario, as already mentioned in other presentations, at end of last year, beginning this year, we have seen much optimization with the economy in our state because the increase of soft commodities around the world has brought to us this. And as you can see, what the central banks of the developed countries, so that brought the commodities and including the, I mean, agricultural ones and even meat at high levels together with an exchange rate that has been depreciated in Brazil. So this shows a rare condition, and at this point it favors greatly our economy in our state as we had expected. So this slide shows clearly that as we have the growth of the state economy more than what the country has today, and we still believe that we will carry on this way where agribusiness pulls it up and the industry in terms of manufacturing, it is also bringing an increase to our economy and our state. So this is the background scenario. So now let's go to slide number 3 and talking a bit about what we're going through. We all have been right from the beginning of this management with great concern in terms of managing our costs and be able to have our price structure set so that we can be competitive. And at the same time, we need to adjust our credit portfolio, being very conservative, not only when it comes to the different classifications, but also in terms of not having credit concentrated. We went from the corporate, now we have a diversified portfolio with very low credit risk, as you'll see in this presentation. So we are prepared to capture the opportunity that we have. As you know, we have a bank with all the products available, full service. So we have the capacity to offer all products as we have on our shelves that any bank can offer. We have that all. And we also have a service channel with omni-channel, branch network, digital channels, and also office banking, internet banking. And we also have a great bank correspondence around the country, also in our own state. We have been also able to commit our teams to our work, and we are working with Mercer's HR consultancy international company, and we already have part of the output of their work being shown, and this has made us aligning in a more effective manner the incentives to our employees in a way that it's more adherent to our corporate goals. We have focused on our core business, which is basically credit, as a way to really reach greater possibilities of selling other products of our bank. So our goal today is to expand the credit and as a way to reach other products in the commercial area. So slide 4, strategy first. We have a wide customer base, so we want to monetize the customers in terms of getting opportunity to have them acquire our products that might not have been offered, and that way to increase penetration of these products in our customer base that is quite extensive in the state of Rio Grande do Sul. And we also have a great concern with the pillar efficiency, where we have had adjustments in our employees. We have a great reduction of 7% in personnel. We have been very strict in all the hiring. So all the other aspects where we have reached a point of concern to make sure our costs do not rise. And for digital transformation, we have used the agile methodology with the digital transformation. So we're working to make our customer have a more positive and simpler experience to bring their life to their hands with their phone. And lastly, we are also very much committed to a sustainability agenda. We have now a sustainability department. We have been implementing new procedures, and we will also be heading to be fueled by clean energy. So we have more and more an energy grid that we will be supplied with clean energy, wind energy, photovoltaic. So the ones that do not issue green gas. So in terms of monetizing our relationship with customers on slide 5, there's a very interesting data. So we're talking about that most of our base buys up to 2 products, and this is not much, so there is a wide range of products, and definitely that do interest our customers, so we have much space to grow our sales of products for these customers, and that is suitable to their needs. So we see this as a great opportunity to increase highly our revenues by the products that we can sell to these customers. We have here a strategy that's very strong on keep distributing products in terms of portability of payroll credit, personal credit, real estate credit, which were very competitive. So the idea is to grow credit portfolio using the portability with payroll credit and real estate. And at the same time, we have completed the test that from August on will have 100% digital onboarding for our customers to get their accounts up and running. So with the phone in their hands, they'll be able to get an account at Venerable Soul. So next slide, number 6. So when it comes to what we have and some highlights of what we've seen, because our track record has shown great innovation in terms of technology. Just to remind you, some recent innovations, Banrisul has released the Banrifast bracelet, which authorizes payment through near field payment, and there's more than 14,000 credit bracelets, 100,000 transactions already, and also management of credit limits using their own smartphone. They can import that on their own phone. So 77.5% of our transactions is already performed on digital channels, 1.1 million average daily hits, and today we have a growth of 13.9%. And we now, for our acquirer, we are implementing a technology that is quite disruptive when it comes to being able to have a terminal for POS for our acquirer. So we'll have with the App Store, Android and iOS, app where the smartphone alone of the merchant will become a POS, and it's through the credit card near field payment, and it will be a POS, and that way, I mean, they will not have to pay rent. They won't have to get any type of terminal on their smartphone. They'll be able to have that paid through card, and it will just be through Nearfield and their credit card. So this will be quite disruptive. So we'll be able to have that throughout the country using this technology. And we see that there will be no need of maintenance of terminals. So this will be a revolution, and it's low cost, and it will allow us to get scalability when it comes to distribution of our product. Now, let's go to number 7. Here, it is made clear our efficiency pillar, where we talked about the branches. We're still working on having the right number of branches. We've already closed 16, and also our service stations, 30 have already been closed, and the 2 were transferred into service station 9, were turned into business rooms. This work will carry on, and we will be permanently working on it and revisiting the branches so that we can carry on with the reduction of our brick-and-mortar structure without any damage to service and to suiting our network according to our customers. And on the other hand, in terms of personnel, we can see here that from the same basis of last year, we have 135% growth where our personnel, we see the drop, personnel expense of 5%. So we see that because we had a downsizing of 1,000 employees from last year to this. So we have reduced our personnel to around 9,100 employees. So now slide number 8. So when it comes to sustainability, we have many initiatives, and we have adhered to the carbon disclosure project, and also we have many actions in terms of funding to our customers so they can have photovoltaic solar boards so that they can have clean energy. That can be small merchants, individuals, agribusiness, or plants. So 88.5% in the last 12 months of growth. And also we have our sustainability committee so that we can have a transverse approach in our bank structure. This sustainability department is directly linked to me so that I can follow up on it and to take on the transverse agenda to all our different departments in the bank. So now, slide number 9. Here, we still have a great priority in the agribusiness, and specifically because the agribusiness has a great importance in the economy of our state. And we launched this June this year, the biggest this dedicated to rural credit. And we also have an AgroInvest 4.0 to finance new technologies in agricultural production. So we should highlight the great quality of credit that our portfolio has. Our default of companies of over 90 days is at 0.54%, and even under of our default that we have overall. So now, slide 10. We have, because of
distributors and bankers,
projection for loan loss provision expense from 2.5 to 4.5 to revise to 2% to 3%, and Also, efficiency, you can see that now is at 54 to 59%, so slide 12. So here are the highlights for this presentation. We've had 281.9 million, which is our result, and the a growth of 135%, and our loan portfolio, it has reached 36.6 billion. And also we have reached a very low default rate, which is because of our portfolio that has been worked on. So we had 2.2 at 90 days. This is because of also covered ratio.
Você pode pressionar asterisco 3 a qualquer momento para ativar seu próprio som.
Sorry, there is no audio feed in English, please. We'll wait for them to work on the technicality. Of
13.13.
So we expect that with the growth of what we expect, we can what we have here in terms of profitable assets. And we expect also this to be aligned and to grow according to the Selic rate. So the 15th. So funding is still a liability that actually is an asset at very low cost and quite diversified with individuals where we have a great number here. So we have an excellent here capturing that gives us the safety to increase our portfolio credit rate. So the 16th, in terms of efficiency, we have here a drop of expense semester over semester of 1.7%. And this drop is a sum of a 7% drop of personnel cost drop and also of other 5% drop of other costs. And we should say that this is inferior to the IGPM and also the PCA for the period. So this shows a great effort that we've had to contain the cost so that they don't go out of control, so that we can keep having it there and with our revenues, with control costs. So we believe that this is important for our results. The good news is that we have a 5% already growth of banking fees, where when we compare semester over semester, we also have the expense of personnel that is being already covered easily with the banking fees. So that way, we already have them reaching a level that already gives us the level that we expect. So slide 17. So our credit portfolio has a growth of 2% for the 12 months. So we should say here that the portfolio is one where we have individuals that reach 60% of the portfolio. And we're talking about payroll credit that is pretty much what we have from the municipalities and states. So it's a very solid portfolio. We also have here for $1 billion of real estate credit, also with real estate guarantee and also rural credit, with nearly 10% also of the portfolio that is quite solid. We've seen this in previous slides that we have a 90 days of 0.5% default at the most. So we feel very that we have a portfolio with a very low risk solid that allows us to have an increase that is very positive. So in terms of what we had last year, we can see on the left, we have spent 208 million of what we had renegotiated in 2020. So 72% has already been seen. So the 90-day default, we're at 9.5 million, which is 4.6% of this balance. But if we consider what was renegotiated with 740 million reais, we can say that that default is 1.5% if we think about what was considered before. So it's all under control, and we just have another 28% of what we negotiated that's already amortized. So now slide 18. So here we have a look into the details of payroll loans that has been growing 5% in 12 months. And for the branches of Banrisul, shows an increase here of this portfolio. So it's a great performance of the branches, and the correspondent agents is at 0.3% the last 12 months. So that is 5% of the payroll loan. So I should say, as I have already said, half of this portfolio is based on the national security, one-third is state, and also the other one is municipalities. So slide 19. So here, when it comes to loan loss provisions, we have one more look into the great performance of our portfolio in terms of defaults. We have here an index of the provisioning of 7.3%. So we can see that from the last quarter of 2020, that is the same. So we see also an expense drop, also because of the quality of the portfolio of 2.9% at the second quarter. So we also see a reduction in 12 months of 68%. So we have 147 million for this quarter. So here, the credit quality here for default rate of 90 days, we have 2.31 of the lowest in the industry. So our coverage ratio of 90 days of 327% of coverage, and most likely the greatest that we've had in Brazil. So once again, this is another great indicator of what we have, which is very solid, and it gives us a basis so that we can have a growth in the next semester. Here we also have a view of how is the breakdown of the portfolio. You can see here that we have 9% of the customers here in terms of the risk level. So you can see that going from large corporates and going to individuals and the retail has been very much right, because we can see a reduction in risk, and that way we have reached default rates that are very low and in a certain way is aligned with our policy of diversification and focus on retail. Slide 21, please. And lastly, here talking about our capital, the Basel ratio, we feel very comfortable. There's much space to grow our credit portfolio. We feel very comfortable. So we're talking about 14.8% once we have the central bank approval of the use of our capturing of subordinate notes that we have from January this year. We will have 18%, and today, even without the use of this possibility, we have a 14.8, which is still very comfortable, so that we can really have a growth of our credit ratio. So looking to the future, we've had many possibilities of growth. We have that set, and we feel very comfortable in terms of our capital, and our portfolio today has been based on diversification, and we can make it grow according to our margins, and we feel very optimistic to be able to reach the results. So I believe that's all we had. I'd like to thank you all, especially our partners here, the executives, our employees, for all your dedication, and especially in the toughest moments during the pandemic, to your dedication, your service, maintenance of our services. So thank you very much for your participation in this call. Thank you. Thank you. The floor now is open for questions and answers for investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star one. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the hashtag key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Flavio Yoshida from Bank of America would like to pose a question. Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to pose my question. And my point here is related to the growth when we look into the future. From this quarter to 2022, I'd like to get more details when it comes to the growth of the portfolio in terms of individuals. Do you see a greater growth, more robust? Do you see where there's a greater spread or greater risk? Because since default rate has been quite controlled with a coverage that is very high, I believe you could have a more robust case with spread to be able to recover margin growth. And also, I see that there is a recovery of growth when we compare year over year in the second quarter. So I'd like to understand what's your mind when it comes to looking to the future, when it comes to growth, and also when it comes to what service lines do you expect to have a better performance? Thank you. Thank you for your question. Well, first we need to look back to understand what we're doing into the future and why we feel confident about the growth. First, as I mentioned, when it comes to the difficulty of service in our branches in the first semester, this made our growth of portfolio be hindered by that. So just so you can fathom, we just have 25% of our professionals, our employees in the branches. Instead of four, just one. So a branch with 20 worked with five. So this did highly hinder the commercial force, which is not the case now for the second semester. That's a fourth point. Second, when it comes to the first semester, we were working with our customers through scheduling, and this made us have a slowdown in offering service to our customers. So if they couldn't schedule, they couldn't get service because we could not have many people in our branches because there were many people. We don't have that anymore. Now we have 100% employees in our branches. And lastly, we made some adjustments to our systems of incentives, of variable short-term compensation. And that is how the corporate goals of Banrisul's sales and growth, and in terms of the incentives that they get of variable income in the short term. So this is a strong mechanism. So what are the avenues that we see as ones of growth? The same that we have been working on and we operate and we are solid on. So we want to grow when it comes to what we have for payroll. Loan, agribusiness, grow also in real estate credit. So this is for individuals. For agribusiness, we are talking about small farmers, small, medium, large. They're all individuals. Obviously, you have the co-ops, but for the most part, we're talking about individuals. And that allows us, in this case, and as you had in the last part of the question, to be able to work more with these customers. So if you have their credit for investment, to be able to commercialize some business that you can sell, insurance, consortium, other credits. So with the payroll loan, you can sell insurance as well. So we believe there is quite much space to have cross-selling once customers find it interesting and suitable. Real estate credit, we've been very competitive as the full real estate credit industry. We see that we have been working hard and with the relationship with individuals. We have a reasonable spread there, and also at the same time, it allows us to have cross-selling that would leverage our return. So basically, those are the points that we are working on to be able to reach the growth agenda and reach our profitability. Thank you. Thank you. Guilherme Nunes, if I'm fine, would like to ask a question. Hello, everyone. Good morning. I would like to get my question answered when it comes to the prioritizations of provisions that you have, and when we talk about dividend and understanding the possible taxing of it. So how do you see that in terms of also the revenue of fees when we talk about all the digital banks in our state? Thank you for your question. Well, we have a relevant fact that JP Morgan will be doing the studies with the transaction. I mean, we have not gotten the message to release that information, so we can't really even talk about it because we don't know exactly how that will be and if it will be released. And if so, the regulatory agency will have to bring that to deliberation. So at this point, I don't have any information in terms of that. So I believe once we do have that issue, we'll have to go through that and we'll have to get the right decisions of the executives. But at this point, I can't say much. When it comes to the bank fee revenue, if you look into quarter over quarter in the last 12 months, we already have a growth of 5%. And if we compare with the semester, it's quite stable. So obviously, there's a pressure when it comes to what is being offered with a product that is being subsidized. I mean, there's always some type of impact there, but in any case, I would say that at this point, we don't have any great impact. Maybe what we start to have, and that's something to be studied, maybe people have two accounts, one in the bank they use, the full-service bank like us, and then since it's free, they have also one at the digital bank. So I don't know if that's the case. So that's something to definitely be researched. But at this point, we don't have a pressure when it comes to that. And as you can see, there has been quite a stability with bank fees. Perfect. Thank you. Gustavo from Bradesco BBI would like to pose his question. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions here, mostly related to the guidance. You have reduced or improved your estimates for cost of credit. So I want to know if that is based on some type of controlled default or if you're considering provision for this guidance update, and if this would bring a drop. I just want to understand how that is and how should we think. Are we talking about the controlled defaults and dropping, and that's the way you can improve the credit cost, or how do you expect in terms of provisions to work with? And the second question is related to the efficiency. You now have a range further up. I want to know if that's something that comes from an increase of expense with the efficiency ratio, or if it's some income that you expect to be weaker because of the loan estimate. So I would like to understand the efficiency ratio. What took into consideration that made you have this possible growth? Thank you. Okay, Mark Staffen will talk about default, and after that, after Marcus gives his remarks, then I'll talk about the efficiency ratio. Good morning, everyone. Actually, this guidance update is to mirror the behavior of our portfolio for the first semester. If we take into consideration the provision rate for 12 months, it is already taking that into consideration of 2.9. And if we just take into consideration the realized for the semester is under 2%. So without any other abrupt or reverse or additional aspect, we already have the reality of our provision within our new guidance range. So we do not expect any other abrupt revision, but just to head towards another reality. In terms of efficiency ratio, well, because of the growth of the programs that I mentioned, I've been out the first semester. So despite knowing that we will grow in the second semester, we do not see that it will be an offsetting the growth of the first semester, and that's why we revised the guidance update of the total portfolio, taking into consideration that effect, and also of growth of cost of personnel, as you have a two-year vacation for bankers that have been taken, or this is a two-year adjustment of salary that is quite high, and this will have an impact in terms of personnel cost. So it has a possibility of to replace inflation, but there will be an impact. That's basically it. Thank you. Perfect. If I could just have a follow-up question about provisions and the quality of portfolio. From what I understand, you are assuming that with the data you have and the figures you've presented, you see a low cost of credit. So I understand that you do not see an increase in default. Is that right? We do not expect an increase in default ratio. It's under control. And also, I mean, as I mentioned before, our portfolio is very solid when it comes to having guarantees that are ones with liquidity. Many are through payroll loans, so we have the conviction that we will have a very low default and under control. And we should remind you that in the last 2 years, we completed our work that started with the previous management, which is not have large corporate portfolio. So we are basically with a diversified retail portfolio now. Thank you, Clear. Paulo from BTG Pactual. A written one. Please, could you tell us the intention of the bank to have the monetizing Faro? Any update when it comes to that? Well, there is no information that has been updated in the Roma Fact. Yuri, TG Morgan, so please. Hello, everyone. I have a first question. If you could tell us a bit of how it is in terms of your risk, in terms of the impact that we've had. If you could explain a bit and how that has been in the industry, and so that's a concern. And the second one is about credit. We see there, as you've all said, about risk, but overall, in terms of the system, I mean, what has been the biggest concern in terms of what to expect with the credit for 2021? And even after that, so should we expect an even greater growth?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'll answer the credit one. And if you could repeat the other question, I don't think I understood. For credit, as I mentioned, there is no really difficulty in terms of growth. The first semester, and I hope we will not have again, which was the pandemic, the quarantine regulations for our states. So this was for 1-2 months. Everything had been closed down. It was a black flag rule for our state, and that was very major. And we had our branches really hindered when it comes to the distribution of our products. And most of this has been changed, and just those who are in the group risks are working from home. So we believe that through the service that we no longer have through scheduling, but full team at our branches and incentives to our goals, our credit portfolio will keep growing as it has in the past. There's nothing really different at this point that will make it not grow. So we believe it will grow. But if you could repeat that other question, I couldn't really understand you. In terms of qualitative, in terms of the concern we have today, the first, in terms of fees for checking accounts, when a customer pays for that service fees because they want to have something. So now that you have the Pix for transfer for free, I mean, maybe you lose the value. So the risk of bank fees is one. And the second is a risk because Pix is being used to pay merchants. So this is the second risk we're talking about. So there might be less debit transactions. So this is the question. Do you see that? And how do you see that aligned with other business lines? Just to really understand if that is a concern to you and if there can be any negative impact to your products and services. I'm going to answer from an acquirer's standpoint. We were concerned that we could have much revenue taken from our upfront debit because we have two installments. But fortunately, at this point, it hasn't really been a relevant impact. So that was quite a surprise. So we're still following up on it. But at this point, there's nothing that should be highlighted when it comes to revenue or having the debit to Pix, and now I can have him also help me with the answer. In terms of fees, that's important. I mean, it is very clear that we have the adherence to Pix from our customers in less than 6 months. We see the number of transactions growing greatly and fast. Today, for June, Pix is already nearly 80% of the total transactions, with 20% with a regular wire transfer, TED or DOC. But in terms of volume, it's 18%. So there's an increase of the transaction. But the impact, and when it comes to fees, it's interesting to say, even with all this growth, there has not been an effective reduction of the number of deposits through TED and DOC. So today, the fees of both is $13 million a month for the bank, and there was a slight drop, but not something that shows a clear trend. So I believe time will show, but it's still very interesting to understand that we are not impacted by that. Great, thank you very much. Remind you that for questions, please type *1. Reminding you that to pose your question, please press *1. To remind you to pose your question, please press *1. Lina Tessicelli from Itaú BBA, a webcast question. Good morning. Could you please make comments about the impact of credit for the quarter and if we can already expect a drop for the next quarters because of the risk of the portfolio? Thank you. Thank you for your question. In terms of credit, I'll have Osvaldo answer that. And the second one about spreads, we'll have Marcus Staff and our CFO, Osvaldo Lobo, please. Well, I couldn't really hear the question to tell you the truth. Can you answer that? Could you please comment on the impact of the credit for the semester? We should expect a drop for the next semesters because of the portfolio mix and a trend on the expense of capturing credit. Osvaldo, go ahead, you can answer that. Well, I mean, the credit portfolio is with a pipeline that has been well controlled. The performance with the expected default is better than what was expected. There is no expectation of change in provisions. So what we do expect is that with the growth of the portfolio, we will keep a level of coverage that will be satisfying, and we will recover even more the profitability of the bank. Okay, Marcus, please, could you answer about the question about spread? Well, I believe, Mateus, the impact on spread with the mix, we should not expect anything different from what we already had in terms of the current behavior of our portfolio, since we expect to have a growth focus on payroll loan and small, medium businesses, rural and real estate. So due to our mix, we would not expect any impact there. And also because the payroll loan market has been showing a maintenance and no big change. When it comes to cost, we have already mentioned before in terms of the interaction with the market, there is a impact in the short term with the increase of the solution. And this is something we should have in the next trimester with the funding cost rate increase. But as the portfolio grows, we know that the pricing that we've already had right from the beginning of the year will have an impact. So I would say in the midterm, any type of pressure of spread will be recovered. So I would not really see that as a big challenge for this immediate period. As there are no more questions, I'd like to pass the floor to Mr. Claudio Coutinho Mendes for his final remarks. I would like to thank you all the stakeholders from Banrisul, our partners, our customers that show their trust on us, our employees, shareholders, thank you for your trust, and I will then close our earnings call. Thank you. Thank you for your participation and have a great day.
Welcome to conference call Vitel. Please enter your passcode or wait to speak with an operator. Bem-vindo ao conference call Vitel. Por favor, digite seu código de acesso ou aguarde para ser atendido por uma operadora. Welcome to conference call Vitel. Please enter your passcode or wait to speak with an operator. Welcome to conference call Vitel. Please enter your passcode or wait to speak with an operator. Bem-vindo ao conference call Vitel. Por favor, digite seu código de acesso ou aguarde para ser atendido por uma operadora. Welcome to conference call Vitel. Please enter your passcode or wait to speak with an operator.